1-800-449-8686. I'm Phil Hendry. That's what I was trying to say. Vice President Al Gore floated two possible solutions to Florida's contested presidential election this evening, suggesting a hand recount of all 6 million ballots cast in the state's 67 counties if Republicans won't accept results of re-canvasses underway in three counties selected by Democrats. With running mate Joseph Lieberman at his side, Gore also proposed that he and Texas Governor George W. Bush meet as soon as possible, not to negotiate, but to improve the tone of our dialogue in America. So he basically came on and he said that he was going to abide by a hand recount, and that's it. Whoever wins that, they win it. And the hand recount in the three Democratic counties, or the three counties that just happen to be heavily Democratic in Florida, whoever wins that, he's going to stand by that. And he also wants to meet with Bush because he thinks things have been rancorous and nuts. Here's another a little bit of news. One way or another, the United States is going to get a new president January 20th. If neither Al Gore nor George W. Bush should get a majority of the Electoral College votes when the official tally is taken on January 6th, the presidential race would go to the House. Each state delegation would have one vote, and a candidate would have to get at least 26 state votes to become president. The Senate would select the vice president, with each senator voting individually and 51 votes needed to win. So what that means, basically, is you could have George Bush as president and Joseph Lieberman as vice president. And my engineer and good friend Craig Taylor said that'd be rad. If Congress should fail to settle on a new president and vice president by Inauguration Day, the Presidential Succession Act would kick in. First in line to serve as acting president would be the Speaker of the House, not the Secretary of State, as Al Haig thought it was when Reagan got shot back in 81 with his voice full of jello saying, "Read your Constitution, gentlemen, I'm in charge." Dennis Hastert is the Republican from Illinois who's the Speaker of the House, followed by the President pro temp of the Senate. Guess who that is? Guess who we could have as president if something happens to this Hastert guy? You got it, Strom Thurmond. All that orange hair. And that guy don't even exist. This would be the first Disney animatron to succeed to the presidency of the United States in history. Because Strom Thurmond doesn't exist. He's been dead for years. That's a hologram. I know it. I know it is. If he's alive, he's 100. He can't be alive. If Strom Thurmond were alive, he'd be 158 years old. Besides, if he got to be president, he'd appoint Lester Maddox to a post. You don't know who Lester Maddox is? Well, let me tell you. He was governor of Georgia once, and he before they elected him governor, this is Lester Maddox. I'm glad you reminded me of that, Melissa. Lester Maddox got elected to the governorship of Georgia. You know why he got elected to the governorship of Georgia? Because he used to chase black people out of his restaurant with an axe handle. And he used to give axe handles away to all the dumb white asses that would walk in there. And he became famous. And the people of Georgia said, "Hell yeah!" And they elected this guy governor. You can't live stuff like that down. You just can't. You can't deny history, and you can't live that down. And they elected this dumbass. Now, I will say this. I lived in Atlanta. Atlanta's been described as what they've called Atlanta, a city in a sea of dumb. Basically, it's a kind of an isolated fortress in a sea of dumb. So everything outside of Atlanta is Dumbville, and Atlanta, which is a predominantly African-American city, but beyond that has always been a very progressive city. They differentiated themselves from Birmingham. They didn't want to be another Birmingham. They wanted to be a 21st century city. They built a gorgeous airport, and they tried to get their act together, and they became a very progressive city, and business-wise, a successful city. And as far as southern cities go, do you ever really think of Atlanta as being some pit where some cat's going to kick your ass outside of a soul food joint or something? I mean, I don't know. Bunch of white guys come out of a soul food joint and kick your ass. I mean, do you think of Atlanta as a place where you're going to get your long-haired ass kicked outside of the Gas and Sip? I don't. And I live there, and it was true. It's a pretty cool town, but outside of Atlanta, like I say, is this sea of dumb. And that's that's where Lester Maddox got elected governor of Georgia. Now, if you've seen the film Easy Rider, that was actually filmed in Louisiana. But those are real guys. I suggest to my younger listeners, go rent Easy Rider. And forget about all the cornball hippie stuff, because there's a lot of real dated, anachronistic-looking hippie stuff going on in that movie. Just enjoy the scene in the diner when the guys pull up on their Harleys and they have to confront the locals in this rural Louisiana parish. Because these are all authentic people from that area. Dennis Hopper directed that film, and he cast that scene with people from found these rednecks. And there's one particular redneck that just sums it all up for me. This guy's like got this huge goiter on his neck.
Hey, how you doing, man? Well, I'm fine.
Hey, you got a lump on your neck, man. Anybody told you that in the last 5 years?
What?
You have a lump on your neck. What, here? No, people don't notice that?
Well, hell, I don't give a good sweet Jesus. I'm just going down and think.
Well, look, man, in case nobody said anything to you, there's a huge lump on your freaking neck over here.
Well, I don't give a sweet damn.
All right. The guy that shoots, well, I shouldn't say. I'm gonna forget it. I'm not going to give it away. If you haven't seen the movie, go rent it. The guy, did you see Easy Rider, Mike? Oh, you got to rent Easy Rider. You're such a lame ass. You're always telling me about all this music you love, and you never go out and see the good, cool flicks that I recommend. Just rent this thing and enjoy the fact that it's very dated. It's really a movie that it doesn't hold up well in terms of all of this bull crap. Oh, God. And rent the movie, you know, and watch this, because there is this marvelous scene with all these rednecks, and they're very real. And that's the life, man. So Strom Thurmond could actually become president of the United States. He is the president pro tem of the Senate. He turns 98 in December, by the way. So that gives me great hope, you know. Either man could act as president only if he resigned his seat in Congress. If both legislators refuse to resign or otherwise fail to meet legal requirements for the presidency, the line of succession would move to qualified cabinet officers in the order as follows. Secretary of State, Treasury and Defense, Attorney General, Secretary of the Interior, Agriculture, Commerce, Labor, Health and Human Services, Housing and Urban Development, Transportation, Energy, Education, and finally, Veteran Affairs. I read a book once where the Secretary of Agriculture became president because the whole cabinet was wiped out in some tornado or something. Something happened where half the cabinet and the president were all killed, and the Secretary of Agriculture. What movie was that? I think it was a movie of the week thing. It was like one of those, like Day After or something. In practice, first in line would be Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers, because Secretary of State Madeleine Albright was born in the former Czechoslovakia, she's ineligible. You can't be born in another country and be president of the United States. Now, why is that? I don't really know, but I think back in Washington and Jefferson's time, they didn't want you to have any allegiance to any other country. If you were born in Lithuania, you may have a fond regard for Latvia and Lithuania. You might want to someday do the bidding of Lithuania. That's why Kennedy, they had to hang up with him because of the Catholic thing. You know, he was Catholic. They thought maybe he'd have to do what the Pope told him to do. Same thing with Lieberman. They figured he'd have to do what Israel says, blah, blah, blah. If Al Gore gets elected, he'd have to do what whatever, wherever he comes from, whatever those people do. And on it goes. Yeah, way up there, man. We don't know where that is. And by the way, Gore continues to upset me to the point where I'm going to resign all affiliation to any political party. You don't think I'm going to become a Republican. But I've gotten really so disgusted with the vice president. And as I said, I've been a Democrat my entire life. And being a Democrat, I got to tell you something. I've had to cast some votes that, man, you really want to open a window. Now, the very first vote I ever cast in my life was in the 1976 election, and I actually voted, even as a registered Democrat, I voted for Ford, because I wasn't buying Carter's act. You got to understand, before you're going to come down on me for voting for Ford, you have to understand what we were up against in 1976. You have to picture this. This hayseed with the swoop John Kennedy haircut coming out of peanut country, and he's laying out lines like, I want the American people to be just and moral and sweet and forgiving, and it just was too pat. We just come out of all the odiousness of Watergate, and along comes Huckleberry Finn. It was like it's just another movie to me, man. Watergate was one movie, and here comes the sequel, Jimmy Carter, Huck Finn. And so I didn't vote for him, because I thought, you know, they were just trying to shuck and jive me from another direction. So I cast that vote. That was a loser. Then comes 1980. Then I decide I will vote for Carter. I thought maybe give it another 4 years, this guy could kick it into high gear, because Reagan was scaring me with that whole voodoo economics thing. It's the same discussion I had with my wife last night. She says that we're going to build up the defense. And I said, it's defense, honey, with football's defense. And she said that Bush is going to do this and that. And I said, can I ask you the same question that I asked in 1980? How is he going to build the defense and cut taxes and keep the budget from running into a deficit again? And she didn't quite understand, and that's okay. And I'm not going to blame her because she's an intelligent woman. But that's the general question you can ask any one of these people that hears this Bush pitch, which is the same pitch that Reagan gave us in 80. I'm going to build defense. I'm going to cut taxes, and there you go. And meanwhile, so how do you, where do you, where's the money coming from, man? Well, as we found out, we're going to run $300 billion a year deficits. What do you think about that? Well, welcome, because we're on the verge of it again, because here comes another round of Republicans, man. So I ain't going to be a Republican. Forget it. It's because I'm leaving the Democrats. Don't, and forget about that libertarian thing, because a libertarian is a Republican who smoked dope. That's all a libertarian is a Republican who smoked a fat joint and went, say now, it's a nutty thing. How can I work this into my philosophy? How can I work dope into a Republican philosophy? I got it. I'll be a libertarian. And I ain't going to be a fruit ball Green Party. And the rest of them cats, well, I'll break on that note. 1-800-449-8686. Hello, this is the Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. And if we get any good calls, we'll put them on the air. One of the things about this election being so close that, one of the reasons why it was so close could have to do with the fact that there was very little acrimony in this campaign. There wasn't the Jennifer Flowers stuff, you know. There wasn't the juicy monkey business stuff. There was no Donna Rice. There wasn't the slam. There wasn't the Willie Horton. There wasn't the real nasty-ass smoking pot stuff, you know. And it looked like they were really cleaning their act up with this one, and it seems to me that they did. Yeah, they tried to get something going with that Bush had a girlfriend who had an abortion thing, and they tried to get something going with that DUI. That was so lame. You know what? People aren't buying that anymore, man. They're not taking the bait on that stuff. And then they had something they were trying to get going with, what, that rats thing, or the bureaucrats, rat. Nothing took. People didn't want, nobody was hooked by any of that stuff. For the most part, I heard people say this is a boring campaign. Well, what do you mean boring? In other words, what? In other words, they didn't have any of that juicy stuff that everybody says they wish wasn't in the campaign, but when it comes down to having a campaign, they wish that it was? You know, you take that stuff out of a campaign, you take it out of an election, people don't know who to vote for. That's why this thing's 300 votes apart, because we didn't have any of that nasty stuff. We didn't have any polarizing information about a guy's sex life, drug usage, war record, whatever. Now what we got here is an election. It ain't boring now. Reading these letters to the LA Times, my wife insists on subscribing to the LA Times. I said, why? What? And then I found out, Maria reads the real estate section and she reads the travel section. And that's it. And occasionally she reads like the, but not, nobody in our family reads the LA Times anymore. It's like this newspaper is so superfluous. Sports page is okay, but the pay, it's, forget it. But anyway, she's got this thing laying around. So naturally, I just happened to be reading it one day. I don't know how. Somebody put a gun to my head and forced me to read the editorial section. And then they clicked the revolver, and I knew there was a bullet in the next chamber, so I forced myself to read the letter section. And these people talking about how boring the election was. Well, it ain't boring now, Charlie. And the non-acrimony, the non-vitriol, the fact that there wasn't any of this personal crap, I think created a vacuum in the brains of most people. They don't know who to vote for, because that's the way a lot of people vote. Has the guy got any dirt on him? If he does, then I'll vote for the other guy. That's how we make up our minds. Not, you know, there's, we may have some vague idea as to policy, a vague idea as to, quote, cutting taxes, end quote, which seems to be such a catchphrase. Everybody just loves that. I want to cut tax. Well, okay. Throw that in, Gore, man. You don't have to do it. The Republicans say they're going to do it, and they don't do it. Why don't you throw that one in? If you would have thrown that little bit of bullcrap in, maybe you'd be 300 votes up right now. But in any event, because there wasn't any of the real sensational tabloid stuff, we got ourselves an election. This thing came down to 300 votes because without any of that stuff, people don't know who to vote for. Speaking of all of that acrimony and all that nasty garbage kind of tabloid news reporting, one thing that old man Bush did, Bush the Elder, that I often, you know, I think back on that and I respect him for this. He had some dirtbag journalist in his office one day in the Oval Office, the White House. And they asked him, because this was during the campaign of 92 when Clinton was being accused of a number of things that later proved to be true, having to do with Jennifer Flowers. The guy was cheating on his wife. And they asked Bush, well, now, sir, isn't there some story about you and a secretary? And they tried to intimate that he had the very same thing in his past. And Bush looked at him and said, you're in the office of the president. I'll throw your rear end out of here if you bring that up again. He said, you're in the office of the president. You bring it up again, I'm going to put you sailing through that window. I thought it was cool. I mean, it might have been true that he was screwing around with a secretary, but there's a time and a place, right? You don't do that in the Oval Office. You can do it in the Rose Garden. Even with all eyes on Florida, the slow counting continues in several other states with close races for president. Double-checking their numbers, tallying their results, sending Burgess Meredith-looking dudes down into a vault with a book, officials are finding one mistake after another. Usually it's not enough to change the results, though in New Mexico, errors change the apparent winner twice. In Oregon, the Bush campaign raised the possibility of legal action if Secretary of State Bill Bradbury, a Democrat, did not provide detailed election results by late Thursday. While campaign spokeswoman Leslie Goodman said, we are not alleging any impropriety during the election, the Bush team wants to make sure that everyone who voted had registered by October 17th as required by law. Take Outagamie County, Wisconsin, where officials discovered on Wednesday that they'd given Bush 510 extra votes. The mistake was caught during the canvass done by each county before submitting official results. All this stuff, in other words, was discovered before these results were certified. So is Oregon still out? Oregon still up in the air? But Wisconsin's cool. It was a simple typo, explained Deputy Clerk Sarah Hickey. When you get out of here at 2 o'clock in the morning, your eyes can hardly see anymore. Well, we understand that, sir. So you go ahead and put the wrong guy in the White House. We'll understand. In Palo Alto County, Iowa, officials transposed a pair of numbers. It turns out that Gore did not beat Bush by 15 votes, as they thought on Election Day. Bush beat Gore by 15 votes. Now, that's just in one county, Palo Alto County, Iowa. Meanwhile, in Iowa's Sioux County, officials discovered that they'd accidentally recorded the same number of votes for Bush and Gore. In fact, Bush beat Gore by 895 votes. That's in Iowa. So you see, nobody can count. Everybody's got their head jammed so deep and so wide. And when it gets to be this close, hey, who knows, maybe the wrong guy gets in. How come you people all care, man? None of you voted anyway, right? They had, what, they get 51% turnout, and you guys are all getting upset? All right, so anyway, as I was saying, I'm going to quit the Democratic Party, but I ain't joining any of the other parties, and I don't need any mail from the American Independent Party. There's one. Is that still around, the American Independent Party? That was a party that was started by George Wallace. George Wallace was the governor of Alabama, and he was another shop-worn, tarnished bigot that was trying to run for president back in 68 and 72 until somebody finally put an end to that with a bullet, and I'm not saying that that was a good thing, but, well, anyway. The American Independent Party, I walked into the American Independent Party campaign headquarters in Arcadia, California, when I was in high school. And I swear to God, a woman, she was right out of Central Casting, Mayberry RFD. You know the women with the hats and the dresses in Mayberry? That's what she looked like as she was handing out Wallace literature to me. And I'm 16, and I've got long hair, and I've got a peace symbol and a hash pipe in my back pocket. Hey, I'd like to know a little bit more about Governor Wallace.
Certainly, son.
Thank you. Anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Remember, join the party, the American party. Phil Henry running as president, where the only slogan is, I'll buy if you fly. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. So, the kids the other night when we were watching the election were howling and screaming in favor of Bush, you know, and I said, that's fine. You know, Maria believes that children should, you know, begin to formulate their opinion, but they're howling and screaming, you know, at a level of volume of sound that was bugging me. And I made the point, I said, you know, this is my home. This is where I live. This is the roof that I pay for. This is the TV set that I pay for. And I'm a Democrat. And my wife is a Republican, and that's fine. And she and I disagree. But what I draw the line at, and I don't care whether you think I'm some kind of a, you know, bad guy, or I'm a, you know, real hard ass as a father, or whatever, I draw the line at kids who haven't lived, you know, a teardrop in this world, man, laying there and hooting and, you know, screaming for Bush because I don't have to listen to it. I'm the adult. They're the kid. And not only that, but because it's become such a sport, because it's become such a popular sport among adults to characterize Clinton as a real scumbag, the kids seem to feel free that they can do that. They refer to Clinton. Now, these are children referring to the President of the United States as a dirtbag or this or that. Now, you may think that your precious little children are entitled to their opinion. I don't think that. And I don't think that children should refer to the President of the United States in those kind of derogatory terms. And I don't care how square you think it sounds. They may hear adults do that, and I'm sorry that they're overhearing adults doing that. But in my house, they don't do it. I don't care who the president, it could be Bush, it could be anybody. Little kids that don't know their rear end from a hole in the ground don't sit there talking about what a dirtbag Clinton is. Well, you know, children are entitled to, no, they're not, I'm the adult. And the other thing is kind of selfish. Because I'm a Democrat, and because I paid for that house, I should only have to hear Democrats supporting statements. I should not have to hear Republican supporting statements. I should not have to hear Homerism for George Bush. I should not have to hear hooting and hollering like it's, like we're watching Wheel of Freaking Fortune for George Bush. I want them to be seen and not heard. They can sit there and quietly pray fervently. They can read a rosary for George Bush. I don't want to hear it. Now, is that wrong? Is that wrong of me? Am I a real ball-breaking, unreasonable ogre of a tyrant of a guy? Frankly, I don't care. I think I've earned a couple of things in this world. One of the things that I've earned is to come home to my house, sit down in my chair, watch my TV, and not have to listen to anybody that doesn't agree with me open their big fat face. You can all hoot and holler for Gore, that's accepted. You do it for Bush, you go upstairs, which is exactly what happened. I told him, take it upstairs. Go to your other TV set. Go to your TV. They have their TV. You have your TV. Go watch your freaking TV. It's bigger than my TV. Your TV has a VCR hook up to it. Mine doesn't. I haven't even gotten DVD yet, man. I'm living in the Stone Age there. All I want to do is sit and I want to watch my guy Gore. You guys like Bush? You get out of here. Well, how come? We have a freedom of religion. You're a kid. That's how come. You're a kid. See, I got to keep, you know, reminding them. You're a kid. I'm an adult. I don't take this crap from you. Now get out of here. You know, someday you'll be as cool as me, but right now you're not. So that's how it goes round and round at our house. You guys go upstairs and watch Fox News, only CNN on my TV. Okay? But seriously, I mean, the kids get a little mouthy with all that stuff, and that's cool. But that's what happened on election night. And then as the evening progressed, and it got worse and worse, and then they were calling it for Gore, then calling for Bush, then they called it for Gore, then they said, oh, hell, we don't know what the hell we're doing. Then it just got worse and crazy and nuts. And of course, now the kids won't stop talking about it because it's become such a topic of discussion at school. It's all I ever hear about. But they have learned not to go homering there for Bush in my house. Don't you think I have a right to that? Am I unreasonable? I had my friend come over, The Swede came over one night, and he was yakking about, talking about what a scumbag Clinton was. My mother-in-law is over there talking about what a scumbag Clinton is. My father-in-law, every member of my extended family, what a scumbag Clinton is. I'm the only guy. And I finally woke up one day, and I said, I don't have to listen to this in my own house. You guys want to talk about that? Go outside. I'm going to set a table up for you. Oh, it's 48 degrees out there? Well, I'm so sorry. You guys go out there and talk about that. I ain't hearing it here where I live. This has become such a sport. Last 8 years, man, what a dirtbag he is. What a scumbag he is. Clinton's a dirtbag. You know what, man? It's really boring. It's really, really dull. Get a new line. Talk about it with somebody else. Talk about it with somebody who thinks it's so original and so ever so interesting. He may be a dirtbag. He may be a scumbag. Maybe he should have gotten thrown out. I don't know. I don't care. What I really find offensive is somebody walking into my house laying that stuff on me. It ain't going to happen, man. You're going to sit here and eat my food and tell me that? You're drinking my beer. It's like the Swede. He comes and drinks my Heineken and tells me that. Craig wants to know if Maria had a Bush Cheney sign and I had a Gore Lieberman sign in the front yard. No, man, I don't play that crap at all. Sticking a Gore Lieberman sign in my front yard. All right, Al Gore won the right to recount thousands of contested ballots in heavily Democratic counties in Florida after Republican legal assault failed Wednesday, then made a surprise proposal for a statewide hand recount of all 6 million votes. From the start, the Republicans have rejected the idea of recounts by hand as a subjective and inaccurate process open to political mischief. And Gore had no realistic expectation George W. Bush would accept. Here's the story, and the Republicans are making a really good point. They're saying that in Florida law, you can call for a recount, but you may not call for a hand count unless the voting machine itself is broken, unless the machinery is somehow faulty. There just isn't any provision in Florida law to call for a hand count, except in the instance that there is a problem with the machinery. Then you may. Well, the argument can be made that there isn't a problem with the machinery. There was a problem with the brains inside the heads of the people that were allowed into those polling places. You call it a problem with the machinery? Maybe you can call it a problem with the machinery because the ballot was printed up wrong. But you don't have an argument, man, when you've got monkeys from the zoo and you've got 8-year-old kids and you've got people with Down syndrome and you've got, newly born babies getting their rear ends powdered up and they're all voting for Gore properly and in unison. You just don't have an argument. So that's what they're saying, and that's why they said that this hand count is a bunch of baloney. Gore's here saying, hey, man, let's just finish this hand count that we got going in these three counties, or we can hand count the whole freaking state, which, to you know, Bush is going to say forget it, and he's going to press on with his legal action against this hand count because there ain't any provision for it in the Florida law. So it looks like Bush has got this whole thing wired, man. He's got some pretty good good-looking lawyers. He's got some good lawyers. They may be good-looking. Did you see him? Mike is nodding his head vigorously up and down. Yes, they're handsome. Okay, thanks, Mike. So he's got some good lawyers. They were standing there looking very erudite and bookish and all Yale-ish. And they were saying, there is no provision. So I'm just quoting them. By the way, here are some other quotes from Dan Rather. Bush has run through Dixie like a big wheel through a cotton field. And he'll be madder than a rained-on rooster. When's the last time Dan Rather was ever on a farm? While Gore's back's against the wall, his shirt tail's on fire, and the bill collector's at the door. Gore's as cross as a snapping turtle, and the Senate campaigns were as hot and squalid as a New York elevator in August. The Senate campaigns were ugly enough, nasty enough to gag a buzzard. Meanwhile, you can bet that they're smiling like a cat at a creamery down in Austin. Although Bush's lead is now shakier than cafeteria jello and has been melted faster than ice cream in a microwave because close only counts with hand grenades and horseshoes. California's the big burrito, Texas the big taco, Florida's the big tamale. It's not only a hot tamale, it's the only tamale that counts. In summary, it's a frog with side pockets and he's carrying a handgun. Is he in a nut house yet? Did they come in with a wagon before or after he got this out? After he got done saying this, did they finally just wrap it? Yes, Mr. Rather. It was very nice. Well, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, we understand. And into the wagon he goes, and the last you see is exhaust and just the white double doors of the state-owned vehicle going up to the nut bin on top of the hill, right in there next to Bruce Wayne. Presidential race is hot enough to peel house paint, as hot and tight. Ooh, listen to this. As hot and tight as too small bathing suit on a too long car ride from the beach. Still hotter than a Laredo parking lot. As tight as the rusted. I'll get out of here with this crap. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show here. I mean, why should I have to sit and pay for some guy to drink my beer to tell me that Clinton's a pile? So I don't think anybody should put up with that. And I won't come this Thanksgiving. I'm putting all of my in-laws on notice. I'm just kidding. I'm sure that I'll be overruled by Maria. Somehow will overrule me. And I'll be relegated to some hole, some corner, huh? She's a woman. So she's a woman. What are you trying to say? Oh, yeah, you're right. She's a woman, so she gets her way. That's right, Craig. Thank you. I didn't know what you meant by the fact that she's a woman, but now I realize what you're basically saying is she's a dictatorial, Hitler-esque individual. Thank you very much, Craig Taylor, for that. I'll let her know you said so. I'll make the in-laws sit at the kids' table so I don't have to hear all this blather. Oh, man, my mother-in-law just never ends with her. Clinton, what a pile, what a crap can, no good, low, no count. He's the worst thing that ever came to, he's worse than Hitler. I actually heard her say that. I swear to God, I actually heard her say something along the lines that Hitler was better or something than Clinton. Jesus. Hitler was better at what? Than Clinton. Why? How? What, better at concealing getting, oral sex in the... Do they have an Oval Office there in Berlin? I don't know what he had. He had his Berchtesgaden. This is the level that people sink to because this guy is such scum, you know? Well, I ain't going to listen to it anymore because I'm the guy that pays for that roof and that beer, and I don't have to hear it. When I come home from, truth be told, you know, I could see that Gore was losing. I could see that he was losing the Electoral College. I could see that things were going badly. It was really making me angry because I had to sit and once again listen to now not only my wife and my in-laws and my friends, but now another generation, the smaller generation, a little twerpy kids. Now they start chiming in like squawking birds in a nest. And I'm thinking, is there any, please, God, is there any escape from any of this? Three generations of this? So, yeah, it was rough. And it's probably going to be rougher still. I hope they wrap this thing up by Thanksgiving. I got 24 people coming over to my house. I don't even know where everybody's going to sleep. I got no idea where anybody's going to sleep. I got 24 of my, and I love them all. I think they're fantastic. Relatives coming over, relatives and friends. And I'm going to have to, I don't know, I'm going to heat the garage or something. I don't know what I'm going to do. And all of them Republicans, and all of them are going to be singing a song. Because you know Bush is going to win this election. Don't make any mistake, okay? Everybody knows this except Gore. Everybody in the country knows that Bush has won except Gore. He's the only guy and the lawyers that he hired. He lost. You've lost, Ace. You're going to lose my vote next time out, man. What is this, another situation where the lawyers have got the meter running? Go ahead, we got the meter running, man. Whatever you want, Al. Come on, have a little decency. Would you just sidle up next to that big galoot and tell him, in no uncertain terms, that he has taken it in the shorts? Just a bug out for high ground. Get out of there, man. You're about to lose Hendry's vote, not only for you, but you're going to lose Hendry as a member of the Democratic Party. He said something about joining the Natural Law Party. And I'll tell you something right now. Any party called the Natural Law Party, I want a piece of that. I want to be involved in that, whatever that's about. I can tell you it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? The Natural Law Party. Well, now, I got a party with those people. Why the hell would I want to be the Democrat, the Libertarian, American Independent, all these boring? The Natural Law Party, that's the one that I'm joining. But look at Al, you lost, man, and you're the only guy that doesn't know it. You're sitting there with your press conference. I saw it today. He's going to accept the hand count or something having to do with a hand, and then he says he'll move on, and it's not his, he doesn't want to screw things up. He just wants to make sure that everybody knew exactly what it was they were doing when they punched George Bush. Maybe they meant Al Gore, but they were shocked and agog and aghast at the whole Chad thing, and maybe the ball game was on in the background, and the kid was stuck in it there. Who knows what was going on? Maybe they were diverted their attention by the crash of the Concorde or something. I don't know what the problem was, but for whatever reason, they didn't vote for Al when they wanted to vote for Al. Hey, I got another one for you, Al. Maybe they became Republicans thinking they were becoming Democrats. Did you think about that? How about all those delegates at the Republican convention? Did they just wander into the wrong hall? They had the California sign. They had the straw hat. Is this the Democratic convention? No, it isn't. Oh, hell, I don't care. Where's the bar? Maybe I got the alphabet all messed up. G for Gore, G for GW. You know, it'll happen. Well, whatever happened, baby, you got to count what you got to count. And guess what? You lose. And you're the only cat that don't know it. And it's starting to get embarrassing. We're starting to be embarrassed for you. You're like the dumb uncle that's upstairs. You know, you got him chained in the attic. Yeah, we're a little, like, we got to maybe... you can't sit at the table with us, Uncle Al.
Well, I don't know why I can't, just because I lisp like a $4 queer.
Jesus, what is up with your mouth, too? And another thing, when you give a speech, you're giving a speech to adults. You're not reading the Brothers Grimm to a kid.
And another thing that I'd like to do is that
he's reading this press conference today is like he's reading a bedtime story.
Then, after we cast the big bad votes, then we walk over and hand it to the registrar person. She's the nice old lady with the mole on her nose.
Okay.
And we'll have a hand count. If the hand count is accepted, why, by Jiminy, then everything is just copacetic. If it's not, then the bad old Mr. Bush is going to have to accept a recount. Ooh. Then, Grandma said, "What big eyes you have." I mean, I don't know. And every Democrat lived happily ever after.
There you go. And then Goldilocks opened up her cape, and the wolf said, "Wow, what big..." I don't know. Was that Goldilocks or Little Red Riding Hood? What's the story with little girls loose in the woods anyway? Boy, back in those days, they certainly don't know what we know today, man. They didn't have SUVs back then. If Goldilocks had parents that gave a crap and they had it, maybe they should be taken to school to her grandma's house or whatever in a freaking Land Rover. What do you think of that? And what's this all about the wolf threatening to eat Red? How's that a threat? Okay, so anyway, that was Mike Schaefer just kind of weighing in. What the hell are you talking about? Would you put a net over him or something back there? So Gore is there with a press conference today, and you'd think he was reading a bedtime Mother Goose to some kid.
What you do is you cast the vote, and then it goes into a box, and we count it. And the man who gets the most votes,
oh, yeah, how's that work, Al?
Well, he's president.
Really? And then what?
Well, then he goes to Washington, and it's fun.
Well, it ain't happening that way, so you're going to have to hire another lawyer, man, to, you know, get it to happen. How many lawyers do you think you're going to hire before he becomes president? All right, you may think I'm a Republican. This is Phil Hendry, a Democrat, thoroughly disgusted with the whole process. And then you get kissed by a prince? Sounds like Al got kissed by a prince. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.